Hi, and welcome to The Listening Post. I'm your host, Thomas Walsh. Traffic's heavy on Causeway Boulevard as commuters close out another work week. Protesters gather outside Senator Bill Cassidy's office. They hope the Affordable Care Act won't be repealed.
I call. I will say at least Cassidy answers his phones. They take my name, they take my issue, but I never get any answer back. I don't feel he's really listening to me.
That's Tina Gasson. She drove from Applause to participate in the rally, and it's her first ever protest. There are honks of support from cars passing by those protesting Senator Cassidy and his Republican cohorts. Stick around long enough, and you'll even hear pro-administration chants. But while all the different groups that make up modern political life in America are physically here, in this one little suburban New Orleans parking lot, they aren't exactly extending a hand to one another. Protesters interact with their respective sides. No one from Senator Cassidy's office makes the trip outside to engage anyone. One Treme resident in attendance, who has to remain anonymous, says she's not surprised by this jumbled scene. She deals with this exact scenario whenever her extended family gets together in Mississippi.
They're probably more Republican than Democrat, and they know better than to talk to me about anything, so I simply don't talk to them about these things. At the end of the day, I don't know how much you can change people.
So whether it's a rural family reunion or a suburban parking lot, this is the political puzzle unfolding across the city, the state, the country.
So the dynamic these days is we all live in our bubbles, and it's true.
That's Tim Morris, the new conservative-leaning op-ed columnist for the Times-Picayune. Morris knows a thing or two about bubbles. He himself was specifically hired to puncture one. After Trump was elected, media outlets raced to make sure that they had more conservative voices on staff. Morris says the political divide is often based on where you live.
People who live in cities, you see a lot of police officers, you see work crews, potholes and delays in transit and all these things. And so government has a really everyday impact on you. And out in the rural areas, it's much less. I mean, you see the sheriff drive by, but it's not the same. You see yourself as more independent of government.
He thinks that the internet can be a useful bridge to give red and blue communities around the U.S. a better understanding of one another. But he also says that people are reticent to really step out of their comfort zones.
It's like in class or at church, you always go sit in that same pew and that same, and it's hard for people to break those habits. And it's also hard for people to try to accept something that challenges their worldview.
So communication, associations, where you live, where you're from, life experience, all this stuff kind of factors into the dynamic between blue cities and red states that we're talking about on this month's Listening Post. Here with me in the studio to kind of sort out this data is the fabulous Claudia Lopez.
Hey, Thomas.
There you are. She's our resident Listening Post community producer. Thanks for joining me. We're going to try to sort some things out, but that's a lot harder to do this month.
Yeah, this month was so difficult in trying to kind of like read and collect the consensus that we got from these responses.
It's not clear cut at all.
Right.
And so let's dig into it. Let's get to the questions that we asked and put out there to our listeners.
So this month we're talking about New Orleans is a blue city within a red state. And how does this impact you in your daily life? Then we go into asking, well, how often do you interact with people that have these differing values and beliefs than you, and how did you handle that situation?
Yeah, that's right. One of the guys that we spoke to responded and said that he used to be able to have open conversations, but now that Trump's elected, whoop, that's gone.
That kind of just went out of the door. Here's another quote. My state's legislature doesn't reflect the values of myself, my peers, or my neighbors. It feels like we're speaking another language in the city versus the rest of the state.
I'll tell you one thing, Claudia. Know what really struck me this time around?
What happened?
So I was really kind of knocked out by name calling. Red individuals are incapable of distinguishing fact from fiction, end quote. Red state Bible-thumping hypocrites, and then this one, which was really below the belt, entitled parasites waiting for a handout. Ouch. What do you make of that, Claudia?
So I think that's really the emotions that are being provoked from people when talking about politics. I just think we're worn out. I mean, the conversation is just continuing, and I don't think it's something that has closure for people. I think we're kind of done.
We need another Beyonce album is what we really need.
Hello.
Right?
Hey, she's about to give birth soon, so.
Let's move on to how people actually kind of interact with one another. People really kind of keep to their own corners for the most part, save for a couple social situations like the holidays, obviously a big one, going back home to see friends, and then the occasional time when they'll kind of breach something at the office, they'll talk about things with their coworkers. That doesn't always seem to go well, according to our surveys. And then even fewer times, but it still does happen, is when you actually have interactions among neighbors.
We have this one response that says, 2 out of 8 houses on my block are red. That has been hard as we all work to continue getting along as well as we did before the election. But we are concertedly trying to be open and have dialogue and be respectful to each other.
Wonder how that's working out for our person out there.
Then you also have the people who decide, well, I'm just going to not interact with people with differing values than me at all. You know, that's how I keep myself safe from this whole situation. And that goes back to the life experiences, how we differ in appearance and how that history has really played a part in our history as a state.
A lot of interesting data out there. You can find more of these results on our website, listeningpostnola.com. And of course, you can join this conversation through a lot of different ways. Claudia, tell them how we do it.
So you can find us on Twitter at LP_NOLA, or you can give us a text or a call at 504-303-4348.
As we waded through the responses, we came across a text from Alex Stokes. She once dated a guy who was way more conservative than anyone she grew up with, and they had different opinions about everything from guns to spanking.
We had extended ourselves so far in order to meet and find this place where we could kind of coexist. There was a realization that as stresses came up for us, if we had a house together, if we had kids together, that was never going to get easier. It was only going to get harder.
So when push comes to shove, if the only thing we can do is agree to disagree, where does that leave us? Alex remains optimistic and hopes that liberals and conservatives can fall in love with each other, while Tim Morris holds out for our representatives to put aside partisan politics. If you're less optimistic than that, he has these parting words.
It's tough to get everybody to agree on one really complicated thing. So it seems like your choices are you jump in with a group and I'm going to believe what they believe, or that you try to analyze each thing on your own and be more independent.
Everybody over there! Get on.
That's it for this episode of The Listening Post. Get into it. Thanks for tuning in, New Orleans.
Get involved.
And remember, our microphone is your microphone. We'll see you next time.